Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hashtag no music, no intro. We are live. Saints Block Party Podcast. Happy Easter for everybody. Celebrate. He is risen. Change of plans. change of plans in just regards to the show. Originally, we were going to have a big fan of ours, a force in the entertainment industry, Catherine Fisher, joined us, and there was a family emergency that she had to attend to. And, we more than anyone understands that life happens and life will life. So Catherine is eager to join the show. We are planning to reschedule it, but the show goes on. Shout out to everyone who's already in the chat. Jasper, Mitch, Tony, London, Mark. We appreciate y'all. This is one of deader periods in the NFL right now. Right? Nothing going on. I mean, and maybe for the Saints. What's up, Dante? Maybe for the Saints, that's for the best. But since we got everyone's attention and everything, if you are wanting to attend the Saints Block Party Podcast Draft Party in New Orleans on April 25th, we are officially 25 days away from the draft party to see what this team does in the draft. Are they going to? We'll see. But if you're a Patreon, please make sure you RSVP. Also, just recently, we started memberships through YouTube, $4.99. You become a member, get a membership on YouTube. It has all the perks of that of a Patreon, attending the draft party, going to our meetups with the games and everything. So the Saints signed a kicker. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like and subscribe, as we are really trying to build this thing on the YouTube side of things. Tony said, it seems like no news is good news with the Saints this time of year. Absolutely.
Always.
Jerry says, what's good, fella? Happy Easter. Happy Easter to you too, Jerry.
Same to you, G.
We'll open it up. Hemi is fierce. Said the Saints signed a kicker. Who that? They signed a kicker to like a 3-year deal from. Oh, where's he from? I'm even blanking on his name. It was just. Listen, I'll say this: the fact that they signed him to a 3-year deal, that stands out to me. Yes, thank you, Mitch, from Ireland. Signed a kicker from Ireland. 3-year deal. Charlie Smythe.
Smitey.
Just saying, groupie might about be able to be local.
About to smite groupie out here, boy.
A 3-year deal? Come on, bro. Like, You don't just give out 3-year deals just willy nilly.
I mean, I'm sure you know they could cut him if you know there's probably no guarantees or nothing. But I mean, it is what it is. It's competition for Groupie, bro. Like, period. You know, Groupie. Look, I say this about Groupie. He had us shook. He had us shook last year, bro. Because you know there were some times. But I say overall, it's like a rookie kicker. I thought he handled a lot of it well. That said, I would not have went into this season with him like written in pen. You know what I'm saying? Like, we bringing in competition, bro. We'll see. You know what I'm saying? One thing about kicker competition, you either get it or you don't. You either, you know what I'm saying? Brother. You make it kicks at practice, you make it at training camp, or you don't. You know what I'm saying?
It's funny too. It's like it feels like in a kicker. Oh, and Jerry said it's actually pronounced Smith and Smythe.
I'm calling Smythe.
Smith. No, it's already written in stone. The jury. So here's the thing that annoyed me about Groupie as a kicker. And listen, I think you're right. I think he had as a rookie kicker overall was fine. Cost the Saints games, yes, but I think it was the inconsistency that we saw in the season with how Dennis Allen and the team treated Trevor Penning. And then that same level didn't go to Groupie. In my head, I'm like, he costs games. Like,
straight up.
Dennis Allen, who has been trying to get in the playoffs for almost, what, 5 seasons, however long he's been coaching? Like, if Groupie hits a couple of kicks in the season, maybe the Saints get in the playoffs. But at no point did Groupie's job ever feel like it was in doubt. Was there going to be a change of kicker?
Right, nothing. Right, right.
Which is crazy. Like, that's the thing. The inconsistency
Yeah. And I think, Mike Triplett was talking about it, how, you know, staff was like, you know, we're going to ride it through with Groupie. You don't want to give up on a kicker so early. And you want to ride it through. And because they could, even some of the great kickers struggled early. You know, riding it through, I'm like, I agree. You know what I'm saying? I agree. How about do that with some other players? Like
left tackle, maybe.
That you traded picks to get? Like, can we do that? I don't know.
No, yes. I understand. I'm saying yes. Allen has 2 years in. I'm saying the totality of his coaching career, going back to Oakland, he has never made the playoffs. Just has not. So all the point I was making is that had Groupie hit maybe a couple of kicks during the season, maybe that's a different story. Shout out Wiki, Heim is fear. I just heard Penning is working out. Underhill reported it. Anyone know where he is working out?
He said the name, some big shot coach he's been working with. I could look it up, but I'm not about to spend time looking it up. But it's good to hear that he's working out. Like, he's taking it seriously. He's working with like an old offensive line, like, guru or something. So, okay. Like,
oh, yeah. Mayweather.
Duke Mayweather. Mayweather.
Sorry, I missed your question. How big is need at offensive line now? Because if Carr gets hurt, we are in trouble because Peterman is terrible. Listen, if Carr gets hurt, run me my 2025 first number one overall pick. Run it.
Please.
Run it.
Please. Please.
I mean,
that's one reason why I don't want to trade a future first, unless it's to go get a quarterback this year.
Right.
I think this quarterback class is
better than next year's quarterback class. Even like quarterback like 4 or 5, I would.
Yeah, I have no idea who's coming out next year, and you know those things can change. But yeah, it seems like next year's class is booty.
Jerry. Oh, thank you for bringing this up, Jerry. I didn't want to talk about this. He asked, "What are our thoughts on training camp moving to Irvine, University of California, Irvine?" I live in Southern California. I've been here a long time. So it's a great opportunity for, I guess, us, you know, my half of representing us as a podcast to be out there as often as I can. Listen, I work a full-time job, so I'm not going to be at every training camp practice. I don't even have the desire to be at every training camp practice, but It's an opportunity to see the players and see the team in person. Hopefully get some really good pictures of the team and things like that. But in the totality of, like, what does it mean for, like, the Saints? I just feel like if Dennis Allen doesn't change how training camp has been run, I don't think it really matters where training camp it is. Like, it's been a very lax-ish type of training camp setup since he's been head coach. It's something that's been on Ryan's our radar. It's the very first, like, not mandatory OTAs. It was voluntary, and just the attendance was just abysmal, and it just felt weird to us. It felt yucky. And I think that's the lack of attention to details is a huge issue of where this team lacks coaching wise. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you're losing talent on the field, you're losing players, or you're drafting players and those players aren't working out, and you have, like, you don't have smart coaches that can pay attention to details, it's not going to be, you're not putting yourself in a position as a football team to, like, do well on the field on Sunday. But I do plan to host a couple of, like, Southern California little, like, mini meetups for training camp, during training camp, get Patreons together who are supporting us. We'll go to training camp together. We can go to Puesto, have the best filet mignon tacos, which are still the best tacos you'll ever have to this day, that is in Irvine. So it's, that from that aspect is fun, and it'll just be more engagement for the podcast. Long answer, Jerry. Sorry about that. What about you, Ryan? What do you think about training camp at Irvine?
Nah, man, I mirror your thoughts. I don't really have a hot take about it. You know, we'll see. I'm interested to see if they're able to get good work out there with a milder climate than we have, you know, in Southeast Louisiana. But other than that, like, it's a dope opportunity for you. And, you know, we got a big contingent of podcast listeners in that area. So it'd be an awesome opportunity for us to get some, you know, get some meetups out there and, you know, have some fun.
Huge opportunity for us at the podcast. Why is this? I'm sorry. I'm trying to get this. Oh, I get it now. Sorry, guys. Here's something I am going to try, though. I am going to try again to get media credentials just for training camp.
Go for it, bro.
Either way, we win. Because if they don't respond to us, it's okay. We'll talk about it on the show. But maybe they're feeling a little generous. Maybe they, like, you know what? Tired of these damn Negroes just dragging us on the podcast all the time. Like, let's just give them a little olive bread.
Maybe to get a new intern up in there to filter emails. And
you don't know.
Just slip through, you know what I'm saying?
You know, the funniest thing, speaking of, like, a new intern, could you imagine, like, a new intern, like, messes up and, like, gives me a credential, and then, like, the team finds out about it?
Fire.
You did what?
Fire. What?
They try to rescind the credentials and, like, nah, don't. Send it back. It was a mistake. Let's see. How did Chase Young's surgery go? You know what, Jasper? Don't know. I mean, those are things that we're just not privy to. But I think it's a cautionary tale, just paying attention to Ryan Ramczyk, and just in that. So any surgery is a risk, whether you're playing football or not. Like, anytime you go under anesthesia and someone is cutting into your body, it's a risk. And no one will know how a human's body is going to respond to a surgery. Ryan Ramczyk is a cautionary tale. He got knee surgery, and that is not, as I would probably just assume, not as invasive as neck surgery. And the surgery, he got it, and he hasn't bounced back from it. Now he's maybe going to miss a season, and maybe he have to retire. Like, so I mean,
he has a degenerative knee, you know. The ligament and joint stuff in between his knee is degrading. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it won't come back. It's gone. It's not coming back. So these surgeries are just trying to find ways to put some duct tape on it and, you know, maybe get through a season or two. But, you know, that the Ramczyk of 2017, 18, you know, Though my dude gone, man. Unfortunately, because he was gone, he was low key on an early Hall of Fame trajectory.
Hall of Fame trajectory,
all pros and absolutely stuff like was. That early.
Absolutely was.
It sucks, man. It sucks.
AK was too. Michael Thompson. Anyway, Jerry says, "Why are y'all always expecting the worst to happen? Is it because of DA and Mickey?" Yes.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Here's the crazy part. I remember Ryan and I did a podcast after the Saints started 2-0, and we were like, "Y'all, why are the fans just unhappy? Like, it's hard to be 2-0 in the NFL." So, as pessimistic as we can be at times, and especially fast forward to how the season ended and how the season played out, when the Saints are doing well, we want to give them credit because you know what? We want them to win. That helps with everything. It helps with us as fans, just being teams winning. It helps with engagement. People want to watch content, want to listen to content more when the team's winning as opposed to the team not winning. So, if anything, like from just a business monetarily perspective, we would love for the Saints to be good. And we don't care if DA is at the helm of when it's happening.
Right.
But historically, we have a head coach that's 24 and 46. That's a fact.
The worst head coaches in the league. And a GM who I'm just not confident about right now.
I mean, I know that ain't Luke in here. That ain't Luke, KKK Luke in this bitch. It's funny. I asked Luke, I DM'd Luke a couple of days ago, asked him if he's going to come to the draft party. And Luke always got a reason why he, I say this jokingly, because he did make a detour when we were in Houston. He did. Much love. Eric Bass said, "I am here for the RuPaul's Drag Race 13, episode 13 review." I don't know if we'll go that far. Also, next time, Eric, next time you come down to Southern California, you and I will go to Hamburger Mary's, which is they have a outstanding drag show brunch in West Hollywood. Hilarious, entertaining. Let's do it. I went there for a coworker's birthday brunch. And absolutely great, fantastic time. But since we're talking about reality shows, we're gonna make a little detour from the Saints real quick. Can we talk about Love is Blind season 6? I'm on episode 7. We're on episode 7. Please don't spoil anything for me, Ryan.
Seven. So where you at in the story?
They just got to the where they live in, right?
Oh, okay. You moved along. Okay.
I have never seen an individual mess up a situation as much as Jimmy has. I'm not over it, Ryan. I'm not over it. And he's clearly not into Chelsea.
You saw it, right?
Like, I know.
You saw it, right?
Oh! Bro, when they was at the beach and one of the girls asked Jimmy, like, "Oh, like, how are things, with you and Chelsea?" And he's like, he started shaking his head. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this... Big lie.
You can see it, man. She was like, you could just tell. You know what I'm saying?
You could tell, man. You
could
tell.
And, bro, like, when, what's the old girl, the one that, other girl that was into him, the pretty one?
Jessica.
She rung him up. She cooked him, bro. I was like, ooh. She said, wait till you see. I was like, man, listen. And it's not that old girl is
Chelsea.
Ugly or nothing. It's just,
pick Megan Fox.
And they had some other ones on there, like the MAGA chick.
Sarah Ann.
Yeah. And she, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm okay. man. You gonna see. Anyway. But it's crazy. Like Jimmy, old slow looking ass, bro. He had him coming after him, bro. I was like, damn. I don't know if it was
that a voice. It's McCaffrey. What?
It's a trip though, because I remember a couple of weeks ago you had tweeted, "Love is not blind." I was like, it's pretty much what the show proves. Like
listen. Jay has told me about the show, and I saw like the last episode of like the Sweden the Sweden season, and everyone was talking about, you know, the new season, season six, and I was like, all right, I'll take a peek. I've already dipped a toe into 90 Day Fiance. Now I'm just locked in. I was like, I don't want to get
even Greg Rosenthal watching. You know, Greg Rosenthal watching. You know, got
Greg watching Love Is Blind. Oh, let me. I got to text. We might have to do a Love Is Blind ATF SBP.
Let's do it, man.
Sorry, guys. Mark said, why is Jerry trying to beef with people?
Jerry beef?
What is going on? Hold on. Jasper says, do y'all think if this season is not what is expected, do DA get another year after this one because of all the turnover on the offensive side? The excuse is built in.
Built in, bro. Built in, and it just seems like listening to Mickey Loomis speak at the owners meeting, just something about the tenor, the way he's talking. He's not talking like playoff, like we're going to win. Like I didn't hear that overconfident Mickey. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It was just more like, it's kind of where we are right now, and we just kind of working ourselves through it. So it wouldn't really shock me if they kind of keep hold on to DA as they go through this cap saving process, you know, cap reclamation, working through some of the age in a roster. It wouldn't surprise me if they just kind of hold on to DA to do that. I don't like that idea, but it wouldn't surprise me if they approached it that way. I'm just like, bro, like, you're overthinking it. If that's not your head coach, you move on. You move on.
You do. Ron in the chat says he was 9-8. He was 9-8 last year, 7-10 the year before. Seems to be improving.
I love you, bro. I appreciate you.
Is this Mickey Loomis in the chat? Like,
I'm called by Scott Tuzler.
He is 24-46 all time. He went 9-8 in the easiest division of football with having one of the most easiest schedules historically, almost of all of football.
I mean, super easy. That got easier as the season went along. I suggest go look up on YouTube. Watching this first. Then after you watch this, go look up Football Analysis, I think is his channel. Football Analysis. And he did analysis of the 20. He's not a Saints fan, just a football guy. He analyzed the 2023 season of the Saints. Probably the most fairest analysis of the Saints season I've seen from like a person that's not a Saints fan. I mean, he gave props what it would do, and he pinpointed a lot of stuff. I thought he watched our podcast. I'm like, bro, this dude must have been watching our podcast. He was on it, bro. And it was just refreshing to hear somebody that's not in our orbit, that's looking from a distance and watching film and all that stuff. They're seeing this.
Not in our echo chamber.
Right. Not in our echo chamber. Seeing the same issues, man. If you're just looking at the win-loss record, which is not impressive either, but if you're just looking at that, nah, bro, you're missing the whole story, man. Missing it, bro.
One of my things I've been saying is that it's not about the end results, about how you get there. Like, it's how you get there. And the way that the Saints have gotten there has just, it's been some questions. I did want to do, so with draft season coming up, you know, me and Jay do this project every year. They've been doing it for like the last 3 years, where we match prospects, their athletic profiles to the Saints' athletic profile, only dating back to 2006. Please know that's only dates back to 2006. And so I, just for the podcast, just thinking of things we needed to talk about. Luke said it would love for us to get Hard Knocks. Shut your mouth. Absolutely not. No, thank you. But I wanted to go back to last year's and just peek and see. Oh yeah, Verse is 100% going to be on this list. We haven't started it yet. We're gonna do it, and then we're gonna do a Patreon only or YouTube membership only live show about it. We're gonna set it up where if you're a Patreon or you're a YouTube live member, you will see the live show that we're gonna do on the prospect matching data. I'm gonna write a football article. I've done it in a while, and that's only gonna be Patreon only or YouTube membership only. So you're gonna see for this upcoming draft class that's gonna take place in 25 days. what players meet the Saints criteria in terms of their matching prospect. The thing that always kind of blows me away when we do this exercise is how many players that match. Like, it's such a cheat sheet to give you an idea of who the Saints may look to draft. So I'm going to share my screen. Share my screen. Y'all can see it. Okay. So DT, a player that was better than I deleted the data because that's at this point that's coming, you know, that's coming like kind of trademark-ish. So I deleted the stats. But player that they drafted in the first round, Brian Breesy. He not only met their athletic profile, but he was an outlier of being better than the athletic profile. So essentially meaning he's just an athletic freak of where they typically draft a DT, or excuse me, defensive tackle. He's that. He was that and more. Boom. Saints drafted him in the first round. Safety. Another player that met all their metrics. Jordan Howden. Drafted him in the fifth round. Scrolling down, they drafted tight end. A.T. Perry. So just if you're looking at this, A.T. Perry was on their list of limited metrics, which means that he met most of their athletic profile. There could have been a category here or there that either the player didn't meet, or maybe they didn't do a certain drill. Like maybe they didn't run three cone or they didn't whatever. But A.T. Perry on the list got drafted. I know Kendre Miller was hurt, so he wouldn't have had any measurables. And I think that's pretty much it. Oh, sorry. That's not it. Nick Solarvarde, limited metrics, got drafted. It literally is a cheat sheet. There's a reason why the only player that I was confused of why isn't he on here is Isaiah Foskey. And I could go back and figure out why he's not. But he's not on here. But for the most part, it gives you just a look and a cheat sheet of what to expect of what the Saints are going to do upcoming in the draft when they do it.
I would like to... if it's possible to look at who was drafted that met criteria since 2016 and who wasn't, like who didn't meet any of the criteria and was still drafted. I'm just curious to see, you know.
Yeah.
We could have a lot of fun with that.
That's interesting. Yeah. A lot of it. Sorry. Let's catch up on the chat. Let's see. Yes, Verse is going to be on the list for sure. Luke said he wants drama. You know, you want discrimination, Luke. there's a lot going on with the Saints. Mickey training draft capital to Sean Payton leaving. Then the trade with the Eagles hurt a lot. Kicking the can down the road caught up with the Saints. COVID-19. I think we got to get rid of the narrative that kicking the can caught up with the Saints. What caught up with the Saints is bad drafting and bad self-scouting. And bad head coach.
It's lazy. Kicking the can. Oh, Jesus.
it just drives him crazy.
Drives me crazy, bro. Because it's the go-to line. And I hear it everywhere. Gotta kick the can. Gotta kick the can. What can? Like, what can are you kicking? And I get it. Like, I understand, you know, I understand the meaning of the term and what people mean by it. But I think they get confused, bro. Like, it's not moving dead.
Educate them. It's a podcast. Educate them, right? We got people in the chat right now that need to be educated.
You literally talk.
Professor Ryan, talk to him.
You're talking about a ledger, an accounting book. It's just accounting. So if I sign a player today for 5 years, $10 million a year, I have a choice. I could pay him $10 million per year for 5 years and put $10 million on the salary cap each year. $10 million, $10 million, $10 million. You know, some teams do this, but you don't have to because the salary cap is it's not etched in stone. Like it's fungible. Right. You know what I'm saying? I could put $1 million in salary cap charge this year and pay him $10 million in cash, but only account for $1 million. Now, what that means is you take the rest, multiply it into five, and spread it out. So the cap charge increases, you know, $12 million second year, $15 million third year. It increases by a certain amount over that time. And it's just a cap charge. Now, people will say, well, that means by the final year, the cap charge, his cap charge is going to be like $25 million. Then what are you going to do? You have to cut players? No, you can still sign players. You just have to sign them doing the same thing.
Same thing.
And you could just keep going. It's not like you're going out of business next year or you got to go into liquidation or go into bankruptcy. This is the NFL. It's the revenue is shared across the board. You could be the worst team, win one game a season, have no fans come in your building, and everybody gets the same check, all 32 teams. Now, I mean, now, as far as like stadium revenue and all that, that counts differently. You know what I'm saying? But as far as like the check that every team gets every year that's cut between the players and the franchise, that everybody gets that check, no matter what your performance is. And that's what's used to calculate the salary cap. So it's just lazy analysis to me. And that's not me saying that the salary cap doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? It does matter. It does factor into decisions you have to make. Absolutely does. But it's just not the hindrance that some people make it is.
Hemisphere said, kicking the can, meaning paying players even when they are retired or on another team.
So you're not paying them. You paid them already. You paid them already. The cash is gone. So it's just the accounting. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just the accounting that's still on the books, but you paid them already. So it's not like you're still paying. We like to say that. I say it sometimes. Like, damn, we still paying Jarris Bird. Like, I joke about that sometimes too. But it's just the accounting. And so it's not preventing you from signing new players. It's not preventing you from extending players. It's not preventing you from doing anything you want to do, with the caveat of if the owner is willing and has the cash available to do it. That's the number one
because the way that the Saints operate their cap is that most often than not, Gail Benson is signing, like, is paying money out of pocket, like, right then and there, especially how they do huge signing bonuses and blah, blah, blah. That is money coming from her pocketbook, her satchel, her little help hands, her the thing that she refers to as a help hands, a little, and she writes the check. That is coming out of her account immediately.
Straight up.
Most owners, listen, we can complain about a lot of things for the Saints. A lot. But one thing, as even if their process has been terrible, their decision-making, all that's been bad, you cannot discredit them for at least trying. They have tried to be competitive. They have tried to win. They've made some terrible decisions and some bad decisions. But when you can't do that if you don't have an owner that's willing to put up the money immediately. You can't do it. It's impossible. They literally signed Derek Carr last season.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Over the cap. They were over the cap. They were over the cap starting last offseason and signed Derek Carr. Terrible decision. But the decision was terrible not because they were over the cap and they signed they signed a quarterback who they chose to pay. You know what I'm saying? It was the evaluation. That was the problem. Right. So it just goes to show is they are not like now they choose to be in this situation because, as Mickey Loomis said, when the pandemic happened, that changed everything. I mean, for the first time in NFL history, stadiums were empty. So that was a lot of revenue not coming in. You know, they froze the salary cap for the first time, like ever. It was crazy.
Ever.
So
it was flat. Yep.
It was flat cap. So it was a different situation. And that when Kai Harley does his projections 3 to 4 or 5 years out, he's projecting that there's a 10, 15, 20% increase in the cap based on the negotiations they had with the media companies. He couldn't do that. The pandemic threw a monkey wrench in that whole plan. So now they're trying to reevaluate. Plus, I think Gale just like, man, look, I'm paying for the Pelicans. I got the beer brewery. She going through some stuff with the auto dealership. She like, look, I'm not spending no more money on quarterbacks. This bad product. I'm not doing it. That's my theory. I have no proof of it, but that's my theory. So they got to figure it out. You know, they got to figure it out.
And the only way that you become or you can be just a good team, if you're not spending a lot, is you have to hit on young players.
It's crucial, bro.
You have to hit on young players. That's why this draft is so, so pivotal. You made a great analogy comparing this upcoming draft class. Not saying, well, it would be lovely if this draft class was another 2017 draft class, but just the importance of it, of just down seasons. And I know they were 9-8 this year, blah, blah, but they didn't make the playoffs. You're coming off two down seasons. And if you look back, even, you know, Sean Payton, before he left his last season, didn't make the playoffs. This draft is crucial, Ryan.
Crucial.
It is crucial. Wanted to ask you this question. I know we texted about it, but first time we kind of talked about it on the show. This buzz about J.J. McCarthy going 2 overall? And it seemed a little legitimate too, bro.
I can't believe it, Adam. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. It's one of the most fascinating stories going into the draft. It's like, what? It's the answer I'm waiting on. Because it's gonna tell me about media coverage during the draft versus reality. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I'm just fascinated to find out. Like, I watched them, you watched them. Everybody, we have long conversations in the Discord. Become a Patreon if you want to jump in that Discord, because we'd be cutting up in there. Long conversations about it.
Or YouTube membership.
Or YouTube membership. It's so fascinating because even me, I watch some people that I really appreciate talk about him, and some that I appreciate. I watch people that I appreciate talk about him. Some still like, he's such a polarizing prospect, man. And I could personally see things that the NFL would like. I could see it.
I could too. Like,
There's some things that would like. But top 10, top 5? Nah.
Top 2 overall?
I mean, that's a projection, bro. That's more of a projection than Andy Richardson. Because at least with like Andy Richardson, even though he didn't have the amount of snaps played and stuff like that.
He's a freak.
He's an Olympic level athlete. Olympic level, so at least like I'm we gonna be able to do something. So at least I get that with him. Not only does he not really have the snaps, but it's like the arm strength is like it's not bad.
Here's my question: what does he do great? What does J.J. McCarthy do great?
I can't answer. He's a great human, and he wins.
And he's white.
Oh, that too.
Okay. We shouldn't be the one. It's crazy. But the domino effect, if that, London said efficiency. He's efficient because he doesn't throw the ball a lot.
Even when efficiency is like, there's some games like I can't remember the game. He threw like two pick sixes. It's like, I don't know. Like, is that efficient? Like, I don't know, bro. Like, it's just like, I need him to be stellar at something. There's nothing I can look at and say, man, he's stellar at this. But there's a lot I can look at. I can look at it and squint and be like, man, there's something I could build off, you know. And it's like a day two guy to me. He's a day two guy that you bring in. You know, that I think if you're a good team and you could believe you believe in your defense, you got a run game, that you could start with him and, you know, spoon feed him and he could become a solid quarterback for you and probably start games, you know. But this projection, the top two, like if I take the top 10, top 15, this is a franchise quarterback I'm going to build around.
Franchise.
And I don't want to have to look back. I don't want to have to look back after I draft this guy. I can't do that with JJ.
Who would you rather have, J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix?
Bo Nix, bro. I'm going with Bo Nix, man. And, like, I got a lot of problems with Bo Nix. I got a lot of problems with him. But I will say this. Like, I could see, like, watching him at Oregon, I could see what he brings to the table. Yes. And I mentioned it to you just on texting. He was, you know, he was on a podcast with Greg Cosell and Doug Farrar, your buddy. And they had him on a whole podcast, and they talking football. They talking, this ain't like no fluff piece and stuff. Yeah. They talking ball. Deep X and O's. And I was like, man, Bo Nix impressive, bro. Like, and you could tell he enjoyed talking about it. You could tell that's what gets him going. And he talked about him wanting to be a high school head coach after he's done with playing football and stuff like that. It's a dude that loves football. Like, so just from that aspect of it, I'm like, okay, that's somebody I could work with. And, you know, he's not like a bum. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude got a nice game.
Luke said Bo Nix can sell you life insurance and throw 20 touchdowns.
Probably so.
Get you a man that could do both. I wonder, especially the football intelligence thing, I think you said it perfectly. I'm so more interested in, like, every other team's draft strategy.
Yep.
One of the trapper.
Super
like I know what the outcome is for us, more like
I already know.
Got a nice look at Fuaga, got a nice look at Olu. Just for the jersey, bro.
Wake me up, man.
Print the jersey.
Just wake me up, bro.
Mark put in the Discord, it was the ESPN article. I think Captain Terrell did, kind of just reviewing like players on the offense that have left, players on the offense that are got brought in the free agency so far and in the offseason. And I was just looking at like the just reading down it, and it was just like, can we, like you said, can we get some juice? Can we get some juice? Bro.
Get a Jessica up in there. Something. AD? Get an AD up in there?
Something. Dante said, do we know where JJ was January 6th? I mean, JJ the type that was just chilling at home. Like, he called people to do that for him. Like, that's the type of money JJ got. He said, no, I'm not. I won't be there, but I support you. Bayou said Carr picked him up. Luke, shout out to the camera and all audio quality. Y'all on your back for sure. Thank you, Luke. Appreciate it. It's, you know, glowed up a little bit.
I can improve.
I mean, listen, we'll get there.
We're going to get there.
We'll get there. We're going to get there. We're not worried about it.
Patreon.com/SaintsBot. Saint Black Bot. We're going to get there.
There it is. Chat, we're gonna have like maybe 10 minutes before we wrap up. What questions man, do you yeah. have?
I don't say anything.
Love is blind, Boeing,
life, philosophy.
Love is blind. Love is blind, Ryan.
We just gotta do an episode, bro. Fuck it. We do, bro.
You should have seen me yell at the TV when they're in the pod and I was like, Jimmy, don't fuck this up, bro. I said, oh, don't mess it up. Don't do it. I just felt, I felt it coming. Because his whole facial, everything changed when Jessica said she had a kid. Everything changed. Oh,
bro, you saw it. It was like,
it was, it, like, it was like the life just went out of
him. Bro. Like, damn, bro, you know. You do realize.
Said Angel Reese versus Caitlin Carter in my Super Bowl.
And you know what? He joking. He joking, but you know them racists. Boy, they. Ooh-wee. All kind of N-words getting spit.
Oh, you know it. Luke said, for Love is Blind, are the contestants blind? No, they're not blind, but they like.
What?
No, Netflix, I need blind people.
Not a bad idea. Like that would
right. You don't need you don't need pods.
Stevie Wonder.
Corey said, well, I mean, Stevie can see. Anyway, Clay's friend said AD doesn't have a job. Whoa, Corey. I'm on episode 7. Take time out. I don't want to get spoiled. I'm enjoying the ride. Can we look, I want to talk about this real quick. I can't stand Kenneth. I was on board with Kenneth. His whole thing changed.
Was he the one that came in with the list?
No, that was Matt.
Oh.
No, Kenneth is the black 25-year-old principal that looked like
he could. Oh, man. With the big hips.
Bro, motherfucker.
That boy, I'm like 25.
Where?
Was?
Big
a 25-year-old principal? Kidding me? Kidding
the micro brain.
The lion, man.
Oh, like Brittany's such a sweetheart, and they in the house, and this nigga's on his phone. It is driving me up a wall, Ryan.
What is the last one you saw with her and him?
That's the one I'm in right now. There, he's just on his phone. She's trying to like organize, and it's driving me
checked
Ryan.
Out. He just it's driving completely me. Checked out. And oh, man, he's such a kind artist to me, bro.
And the crazy thing is, I told Jay, I was like, man, like, I ain't got to worry about Kenneth and Brittany. Like, they good. And
that's how they came off at first.
I was wrong. Yeah. Right? Sorry, guys. We're just going to have to do. Have y'all seen this fridge? Nothing. Not a damn thing with the fridge. Although I will say, as a bachelor man, that didn't surprise me at all. Like, not even a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Bayou said, let's talk opening weekend in baseball. How can I remove someone from...
Boy, I will block you. My dog, but I will block you right now. Ask me about some damn baseball, bro.
Brock said, only 7 months until baseball is over. I'll say this, Bayou. I am hopeful to hopefully get like a county discount to a Dodgers game so I can see Ohtani betting on some games live and actually just
go. I will say this. As much as I hate baseball, hate watching it on TV, going to a baseball game is fun. Always fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy it, bro. Just even like my wife's dad, he used to play baseball. I just go and see his little games. You know what I'm saying? I enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? Some nachos.
But Luke said, I'm praying that Ohtani betting scandal is actually him. The translator is a fall guy. Would be must-see TV. Bro, I really think that's what it is. That's my conspiracy theory. I think Ohtani was the one betting, and the translator is just the fall guy.
That's a crazy story.
Which is a huge scandal if you just really sit back and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sherm said, got to get y'all to a Padres baseball game. So I have heard. Fun fact, we won tickets to a Padres game at an auction a couple of months ago. I believe it's four tickets, Sherm. So we'll figure something out. We'll make a trip down there to catch the Padres game. Five, six more minutes. Any questions? Shahid went to the Padres game yesterday.
Breeze was there too.
He was, man. I'm not saying this. Luke trying to get me canceled. I'm not saying that. I am not saying that. I'll text it to you, Ryan. I'm not gonna get canceled. Not on Good Friday. Not on Easter. I'm not getting canceled on Easter. Luke's wild as hell. But also, yes, you are right. not disagreeing with you. I'll ask you this, Ryan. Am I ready to see the episode when Jimmy meets Jessica? Am I ready to see it? Like, is it?
It's gonna be interesting. I'll just say that much. It's gonna be interesting.
I know he's gonna feel like a big dummy. Big dummy.
I ain't gonna say
that. No? Okay. Dr. said, bro, get Luke out of here. I can't say it. I'm not gonna say it out loud. I'm just gonna text Ryan after the live stream is over. Anyhow, we got up to like 30, almost close to like 40 concurrent viewers.
Wow.
We're right now at 30.
Oh, you yeah. Still, man. Thank you.
For sure. Incredible. We hope, you know, if Easter is something that you celebrate, that you had a wonderful Easter. You know, I went, you know, me, family went to church this morning, you know, got the good word, and just kind of just after that, just been, hanging out, relaxing, and, you know, just enjoying each other.
Nothing like it. We went out, we went to New Orleans yesterday. My wife, my father-in-law, he had his birthday. And we just all got together at grandma's house, you know, ate, you know, sang happy birthday. Dope. She had food, barbecue chicken, fried chicken, baked macaroni, salad, drinks. Mm. Man, we just enjoying ourselves, bro. Like, that's all I need, man.
Ain't nothing like home.
Nothing like it, bro.
Tony said, any particular favorite Easter candy?
Hmm.
Man, all you just give me a Reese's cup shape of an Easter bunny, bro.
Can't go wrong with
that. I'm simple.
I love decorating boiled eggs. I used to love doing that as a kid. Favorite candy.
Appreciate you, Dante. I bring that suit out every so often, maybe once or twice a year. But obviously, it was Easter, so I had to bring it out.
Had the vest on under it too.
Yeah, the vest. The only Louis Vuitton thing I own is that tie, because I
remember when you got it.
That was kind of honors my mom a little bit, because she helped me get it in her passing. Get out of here, peeps, Corey, peeps. Luke said my aunt made a macaroni salad instead of mac and cheese. Criminal. Yeah, I mean she's a white aunt, Luke. Like, what do you expect her to make?
What's in the macaroni salad though? Like, my grandma, my wife grandma, she got the noodles, shrimp, cheese, onions, ham, bacon, got the white sauce. Oh man, just fire. Boy, like, shit. Eggs. Sleep, bro.
Tony said, I can't be around Reese's peanut butter eggs without adult supervision.
Goat, man.
Yeah, I get it, bro. I get it. We will be back this upcoming week talking about what? I have no idea. I really haven't. We just might do a whole Love is Blind episode, because we have nothing to talk about right now. Could we think about something? Luke said Big Back Hour. Yes.
I could do 2 hours on Big Back. And then I'm cutting back, like, I'm on a diet too, so all I think about is food. Nah, bro, I'm like, man.
Can we, a big back women episode. We just be just in heaven, bro. Just.
Woo-wee.
But we'll be back this upcoming week. I hope everything with Catherine's is okay, because we plan to hopefully have her on next Sunday. And then please, if you're in the chat, if you're not either a Patreon, if you're not a YouTube member, $4.99, become one, because you are not going to want to miss our prospect matching data episode. It's going to be a private, not a stripper private, but a private live show for just the Patreons, just the YouTube memberships. If you don't want to watch the show and you just want to have that article when it is posted, it's just going to be something that is posted just to Patreons, or if you are a YouTube member and get a YouTube membership, you will have access to it. But I will tell you, this is what we did last year at the draft party. I made copies of the prospect matching data from last year. Last year, and just laminated them front and back. And we just had them at the tables. Man, just like, okay,
please
on the list.
Put that shit in Excel next time, bro. Please.
Why?
I'm a data guy, bro. I like columns and I like to see Excel. I like it landscape. You know what I'm saying? Like, give me landscape, brother. Please.
Okay. Heard. Heard. And if Brian said the private shows are text only. Go ahead. But thank y'all. Here's something. If you're a part of the Discord, if you have any just some ideas you have for episodes upcoming, just throw them in there, because there really is nothing happening. We could go back and do like some, you know, reviewing like Shahid's 2023 season, or reviewing, you know, AT Perry. You know, I would just let London do the fucking AT Perry episode. But thank y'all so much. We appreciate y'all for hopping on, joining us on a Sunday Easter night, and just spending time and just cutting up with us, kind of on short notice, but all love as always. But we appreciate y'all. We love y'all. We will be back this upcoming week. Don't know what day yet, but we'll be back up this coming week talking about something. Don't know, football related, maybe. We'll see. But something. But we will see you guys, see y'all soon. Thank y'all. We love y'all. With that, we're out.
Peace.